Hello. Are we both here? I mean, when I say both, I mean the three of us.
Your hello-y is very disturbing.
Jacob.
You're like, hello, please.
What? Jacob, the last call was absolutely crystal clear, and now you've gone back onto AM radio quality for some reason. Whose iOS gadget is making beeping noises there?
Oh, Richard.
That'd be me.
Right.
He doesn't sound very good.
Is that you again? Or is it? No, it's mine. It's my iPad.
I don't sound very good.
You sound great. Okay. Right. Okay. It's recording. That's why I called you back, just to set it recording. We've got. Let's try. Should we try and do this in half an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just see if I can turn you up a bit. Can somebody say something, please?
Good evening. This is the BBC.
This is the BBC One. Today we'll be looking at...
That's very good. That is very good. Okay. Right, should we get the show on the road then?
You know what we should do? So at the end of this episode, because I watch Top Gear every week and I always watch the recorded one, and you'll hear the presenter come on at the end and they'll be like, next up on the BBC Two is, you know, so we should do that. That'd be funny.
Okay. Well, you think, I mean, your English accent's very good. So if you'd like to do that, Jacob.
You're English.
You know what? Richard and I have trouble with the English accent.
Yeah, I'm from Newcastle. We don't understand English at all.
Oh my God.
Okay, right. Let me pause a moment and then we'll get this thing underway. Oh, pre-flight checks. Please check that all your iOS devices are on silent. And I need to do this as well. Please set your Skype setting to do not disturb.
All right.
Because a previous podcast, my mother phoned us while we were talking.
Yeah.
I should have got her on, actually.
Yeah. Good evening, Mum.
Jacob, are you going to set yours to do not disturb, or does nobody call you on Skype?
No, nobody really calls me on Skype. Last time I called someone by mistake, so he called me back.
Okay. Jacob, have you got your cup of coffee?
Actually, no. I have a water bottle that says Aperture Science on it, and it's from the game Portal.
Uh-huh. Fabulous.
I've no idea what you two are talking about.
It's Valve.
Oh, Jacob, you should have a look. I saw something on Amazon the other day. You know bookends that you put on shelves to keep your books stood up?
Ooh, I can
Hang
think
on,
of
who uses books be. These days? Everything's electronic on your iPad.
Shut up, Johnny.
Well, basically what it was you had the bookends and it was Portal. So you had the man's feet going in one end and his body coming out the opposite end.
Oh my gosh, I gotta find this.
And it was like blue on one and orange on the other. I was like, oh God, oh,
I found it. Oh, this is fantastic. Johnny, check that out.
You know what?
I want one.
I've no idea what you two are talking about. That's very good, isn't it?
It's a legendary game. You should look up Quartal when you get a chance.
Okay.
It's a very good game.
That is very good. That'll have to go in the show notes. I was going to say, I've no idea what you two are talking about, but then that's par for the course, isn't it?
Yeah, anything to do with games, forget it.
This is episode 12 of Back to the Mac from the Q Broadcasting Network. This week, Johnny, Jacob and Richard are talking about Adobe Flash, Java, Evernote, insecurities on your Mac, and we've got a bit of positivity in the show as well.
Macintosh.
Hello, good evening and welcome to episode 12 of Back to the Mac. Last week, thanks to Jacob and Alex for standing in with a good Mac show. This week, it is Back to the Mac. It's a Mac show for Mac people, by Mac people, about Macs. And we talk about iOS sometimes, and we really shouldn't because it's called Back to the Mac and it's about Macs. It's something like that, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, good. Okay, that was Richard. We got Dr. Richard Harkness with us this week. Say hello, Richard.
Good evening. Hello.
And we've got Professor Penderworth from Mammoth Lakes in California. Mammoth Lakes, Mountain Lakes, I don't know. They're big lakes anyway.
Nice to meet you.
Where was that supposed to be from?
Alabama.
Oh, that's all right. I thought you were trying to be a Geordie for a second.
I thought it was Stoke-on-Trent, but let's not go there.
No.
Let's just stick to the Mac again.
Anyway, have we got a fun-packed episode of Back to the Mac for you tonight?
No.
I think we had one, but we just ruined it.
Yeah. Okay. So, right, I know that you two guys have actually come up with some topics to talk about this week, and it's a bit security-tastic on the Mac front this week. Who wants to go first?
It is, isn't it? Well, it's a number of fronts, and it's the usual suspects, unfortunately. Flash is causing problems as usual. There's further Java vulnerabilities as well. And I understand that even since I've posted this one, there's been another patch to Java issued. It's been recommended apparently as well because of a number of attack on corporate Macs that some people are recommending that you disable Java for the time being.
And how do we disable Java? Is there an easy way to do that?
There are a few tutorials, actually. Mac Observer has a nice one. I'll put that in the show notes. And I think you actually have to uninstall it rather than disable it. Yeah, it's not just you disable. Or actually, no. Mac Observer says you can uninstall or disable. There's a system preferences pane, and you just uncheck the enable button.
Okay, so fairly straightforward thing to do. We'll put a link in the show notes. And there they are. There's a link in the show notes already. Somebody's very, very good this week. So what do they call them? Attack vectors here. Adobe Flash and Java. It's not the first time we've seen these, is it?
No, it makes you a bit sick, doesn't it? It's always the third party plugins that are the source of these attacks.
I think that's why everybody's going towards HTML5 for web development and stuff. That CSS3 and just, you know, the bare bones stuff that pretty much are built into your browser rather than.
You know, Jacob, I think you're right in a sense. I think that some people are moving towards HTML5. Certainly, we're seeing more in the way of HTML5. On YouTube for some of the video content. I was just doing, I was just helping my son with his homework this evening, and he has to log on to a website called Education City, and it helps him with all sorts of homework. He's got different exercises to do, and it's all Flash-based.
Yep.
He can't do it on his iPad because it's all this Adobe trash. So
maybe there's an app.
Well, no, I don't think there is. They've not even developed an app for it. And if you think the iPad must be in so many homes now because it's, you know, it is a revolutionary device. It's so easy. A lot of kids have access to it. We've seen the sorts of things that very young children are doing with iPads. How easy it is to use for them, and also for, you know, senior citizens as well. And yet we're still stuck in this legacy of Flash for certain content. And I just think that these people developing certain apps, such as the educational apps here, it's yesterday's technology, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I've come across the same thing recently. Verinda came home, she said, I need to have Adobe Reader installed. I was like, do you really?
Preview will do that for you, won't it?
No, it's some very specific plugin to do with this thing. I can't remember exactly the details, Johnny, but it won't work in Preview. It won't let you open it. So that was another piece of trash that had to be installed on the
I'd be inclined to install Windows on a virtual machine and keep it firewalled in there.
So it can't do too much damage. That's true. But then I'd have to buy Windows, and that just wouldn't feel right. Having said that, I'm going to have to bite the bullet at some point, aren't I? Because, once my son starts getting further into the educational system, they're never going to let him use an Apple. There's no chance.
Well, I mean, this is the issue with my son's school at the moment. Last year, they went out and bought a few hundred netbooks. I mean, they're dead. That's a few hundred dead batteries in 18 months' time.
I suggest Parallels 8 Desktop. Or desktop, yeah. 8. It's really good. I installed it on my dad's computer like a week ago, and it's really easy to install. Everything works great.
I mean, the virtualization software out there, Parallels and VMware, and I think there's also one called, is it OpenBox? VirtualBox or something like
Virtual
that.
VirtualBox, yeah.
So, yeah, I'd be inclined, if you need to use Windows, buy a nice shiny glass and aluminium device and then stick your trash operating system on it with your crooked software. Microsoft Office and all that.
I think the key message to this is if you don't need to use either of these things, for God's sakes, disable them or take them off your system altogether. They're just a vulnerability.
Well, certainly in terms of Adobe Flash and Java, I suppose it's a case of unless you really need them, I'd recommend removing them. I don't know how many people would actually require Java. I mean, what does Flash do? Apart from my son's homework website, it's just to display WYSI ads on websites.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
I think a lot of video sites still use it.
Yeah, they need to move on, don't they? I mean, this was the complaint my father had a couple of years ago when he got his first iPad, and he couldn't watch any of the videos on the BBC News website because they're all Flash-based. But over the last couple of years, BBC, they've been moving to HTML5 video, so now you can watch much more of the video content. We just need to bring everybody else along with us.
Kicking and screaming. Yeah, the irony of this, we were looking at Euro Disney for the kids this year and tried to look at the Disney website, and it was Flash-based. And it was just, in my head, I was thinking Disney, Pixar, Steve Jobs.
Actually,
how did this happen? But
there's actually a... their site for Oz the Great visited it about 2 or 3 weeks ago. On mobile, it looks amazing. It's actually, they've got like this full, I don't know what they're using. I think it's a lot of JavaScript, but they've got this full gallery and all kinds of beautiful stuff. It even uses your accelerometer. So they're definitely, places are getting more into mobile development, at least.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair to Disney, it did have an app as well, so we ended up having to download the app in order to be able to look at it. But
well, that's rubbish, isn't it? Installing yet more apps on your iOS device, one of those things that we don't talk about on this show.
Yep.
There's a comedian from about 30 years ago. He used to speak as though his mic was cutting out all the time, a bit like Jacob there. It's not Stanley Unwin, it's somebody else. I can't, for the life of me, remember his name. I'm going to have to look it up.
Clearly he was an American.
No, he's English. He was very funny. He'd talk as though his mic was cutting out all the time. And what is it you're using over there, Jacob? WiMAX or something?
WiMAX, yeah.
Wi-Fi?
Well, aren't you
use WiMAX, don't
you? Aren't you on top of a mountain somewhere?
With no physical link? Actually, yes. Well, no, not really. My internet comes through a wireless, I forget what the name of the antenna system is. It's just pretty much an antenna that bounces to another one, which is about 5 miles away, that goes to another one that's 30 miles away. And the internet comes from 30 miles away. That's the fiber line.
I think that's WiMAX, isn't it?
No, I don't think they're using WiMAX. It's something else. It's just long-range Wi-Fi, kind of. Or just high frequency. They're using a 5 gigahertz band, so.
Okay, so far we've established that Adobe is trash. Java is rather bitter. Jacob's internet is pretty erratic. What else has been going wrong in the world of Mac tech this week?
Well, there's another security threat in this time. It's Evernote.
What's happened here, Richard?
I think they experienced some issues with people gaining access. To be fair to them, I think they acted pretty swiftly. And they said that nobody's data had been compromised. Of course, they always say that. And got everybody to reset their passwords, which is a fair undertaking, I'd imagine. So.
You've got to wonder whether they've done this, whether they're the first people to do this the right way, because there have been a number of high-profile breaches of passwords over the last 18 months or so.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, Evernote is the only one that has said, okay, everybody, change your password, and enforced it.
Yeah.
The others, I'm, you know, they said, oh, you better change your password. You might have been compromised.
Yeah.
So maybe they have done it the right way.
It probably is good, isn't it? I think sometimes if you just say, right, do it, then people will do it. Whereas if you give them the choice, they go, all right, yeah, I will, and then just forget about it.
Yeah. I think, you know, they were talking about what had happened. I think their passwords were salted and hashed. I don't know what that means. Sounds tasty. Probably not very good for you. But in terms of password encryption, it sounds as though Evernote has been doing things
the right way,
right, in the way that some other high profile sites have not.
Interesting little thing, and I don't know, this might not be the case now, but certainly when this article was written, same issue again about what we were talking about recently. The update through the company themselves was done immediately, wasn't available on the Mac App Store.
Oh.
So there you go. If anyone's got the Mac App Store open, it'd be interesting to know if you can see whether it's been updated there or not. I haven't at the moment.
That's quite interesting, because we had a chat about the Mac App Store in a recent episode of Back to the Mac, and identified, whilst it's a great idea in principle, or, you know, a good idea, there are some drawbacks to using the Mac App Store. And the fact that there's some latency in updating apps when there's a breach like this, and, you know, it needs a quick and immediate revision to plug any compromises, then waiting for Apple to approve it. In fact, Apple's got a form for this, haven't they? With previous Java updates, there have been known compromises that Oracle has plugged, and Apple has taken 4 or 5 weeks to get round to doing that.
Actually, with Evernote, it was updated on the 2nd of March, and the issue was on the 2nd. So that was quick. Very quick, yeah.
That's good.
And Jacob, do we know if it has been updated in the Mac App Store, how quickly that was?
It has. It was updated that day.
Oh, it
version
was.
Version 5.0.6.
Okay, so maybe they've got a direct line through to somebody at Apple and they're able to push that through quickly. I think
maybe
that,
it's just it's a security update and Apple wants to help along with that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think they need some sort of mechanism, don't they, to ensure that critical updates, security updates like this can be pushed out quickly. So, okay, that's security. Basically, if you've got any third-party stuff installed on your Mac, uninstall it, because you're not very safe by the looks of it. Java, Flash, and, update Evernote. What else have we got to talk about in news this week?
We've got some more positive stuff.
We need positive, don't we?
So let's move on to some of that. If you're after a shiny new iMac, the waiting times are improving. They must be getting the hang of making them now and catching up.
The glue's so starting to set now, is it?
The what, sorry?
The glue is starting to set.
the no-nails is working much better now. have you heard of no-nails, Jacob?
Hmm?
Have you heard of something called no-nails? Do you have that?
I don't think so.
It's a type of like glue resin you can buy in the UK, which sticks anything to anything.
No.
Amazing stuff. Better than that.
That's it.
Super duper glue.
Actually, with this iMac, I just was looking earlier today at them, and they're shipping in 24 hours here in the US. So,
right,
so I think that was
better.
That news was 3 days ago. So,
getting even much improved. Again. Awesome.
That's how up to date we are on here on Back to the Mac. Back to the Mac, bringing you news that's already 3 days old. And in fact, it's going to take me another day to edit this, and then another day for Alex to stick it in the podcast. So, yeah, bringing
so
you
it's only
last
a
week's
week.
News.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really, what we should have said is Back to the Mac is finally catching up with the news. Now only 1 to 3 days out.
and there we are complaining about Apple not being able to get updates out in the Mac App Store.
And don't worry, when we get to do the show in 3D, it will be the age of 3D will be very, very gone. So
that's it. I can just think of some phrase about glass houses and throwing stones. We shouldn't do it. So, new iMac on the cards for the Harkness household?
No.
If you could have your way, new iMac on the cards for the Harkness household?
Yeah, definitely.
My dream Mac setup is still an iMac with a nice 27-inch iMac, or just a 21, with a beautiful Retina MacBook Pro.
Oh, yes. That'd be lovely.
Perfect combination.
I think it has to be the big iMac screen.
Yeah, I do want a 27-inch screen.
It's like a TV, though.
I think it's bigger than my television.
Either with a Mac Mini or, as we've discussed before, or as an iMac. For the first time, actually, I was watching a movie on my iMac recently, and it was quite an enjoyable experience. I enjoyed it. So it'd be nice to have it in 27-inch. Anyway, enough fantasizing.
Okay. After you, sir.
I was just going to say, speaking of Macs, the other thing that...
What this show is about, Richard.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's stick to it. Was
any new apps on your iPhone recently?
We're not talking about the iPhone.
Okay, let's talk about Macs.
So the Mac Pro is starting to get some slightly more juicy rumors coming through now. Apparently, in some Chinese factory, there's been some new solid state drives.
Oh, that'll be the rumor factory, will it?
Yeah, the rumor factory. Yeah, of course, which has several branches in China, all pumping out high quality rumors. So these are 2 terabyte SSDs. Now that's pretty an amazing thought.
Imagine a big RAID thing filled with 2 terabyte SSDs. Oh, I would be happy.
Well, they're speculating.
You'd be poor as well.
They're speculating the new Mac Pro could come with 8 terabytes of SSD storage.
That would be amazing.
Now, that's quite interesting because that hooks up with a previous purchase by Apple of an Israeli company, technology company, that was specialising in solid-state memory.
I remember that, yeah. Was that about 18 months ago or something like
that? It was
about
that, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget what they were called, but, you know... Maybe this would be the fruits of that purchase.
Quite possibly. Now, the thing that you guys may be able to fill me in a bit on this. All right, 8 terabytes sounds really impressive, but
that don't impress me much.
But well, what's it going to do? That's my question. Because
I have a use for it.
Go on.
Okay, so. Well, I have multiple uses for it. First, I have a 2 terabyte hard drive sitting right here on my desk, and it's almost full with, I've ripped all my movies. And right. So all my films are on there, and then I have all my TV shows on there. And then I've also backed up, it's also my Time Machine. And then the biggest thing, and I'm planning on getting this, I want to get a synthesizer plug-in for Logic to play at church and stuff. And the one I want to get, for instance, is like 580 gigabytes of sounds. So imagine putting that on your MacBook Air. Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
Well, even on your iMac, it's going to take up more than half the space, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So an 8 terabyte thing, it's for like a video editor or something. Definitely someone who needs the space.
Yeah, I get that. I get what you're saying, but let's remember that this is aimed at, it's aimed at professionals, and they, you know, small sort of video clips for them in high quality will be in excess of several terabytes. So it's still not going to be enough pushing that around, if you know what I mean. And the advantage of an SSD a lot of the time is...
What size clips are you talking about? I mean, are you talking about the stuff that comes off these RED cameras, the 4K stuff?
Those would be insane. Like, they would be so big. Well, up a terabyte fast.
Exactly, exactly. And that's kind of where it's heading more. So if you were a movie studio or what have you, are you going to look at this as a viable... I mean, all right, it might be great for rendering stuff a lot faster, perhaps, because it might intelligently swap stuff onto the SSD whilst it's being rendered or whatever.
No. Imagine how fast... It's like the speed... Not, it's definitely not the speed of RAM, but imagine how fast you would have, like... It's 400 megabytes per second, I think, is the right speed of a solid-state drive, at least the one in my MacBook. And so imagine if you had that with, say, a 1 terabyte video file. You could write it from one area of the drive to the other, or you could just copy it that fast. But then again, you would need a solid-state drive and your RED camera. Otherwise, when you plug it in, it's going to be a really slow transfer. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's a limitation of all the hardware, not just the one little thing, and you have to have it all connected perfectly.
Mm. I suppose they could have this and then be using the Thunderbolt technology to connect to sort of, you know, either more SSD hard drives or sort of normal. Yeah,
there are, there's a bunch of Thunderbolt docks. I think Lacy makes most of them.
Yeah.
And they're... but they're really expensive, and I think it's 10 gigabits per second is the max speed, which is insane. That's so fast.
Right.
Jacob, you call it Lacy, I call it Lacy. Let's call the whole thing off.
Let's see.
Absolutely.
This is really interesting. The Thunderbolt technology, which was developed with Intel, which I think they developed under the project name or code name Lightpeak, was originally a fiber optic technology, wasn't it? And when it came to the Macs, it was a copper technology, but still with the very high speeds. I'm sure I was reading, and we may even have discussed on a previous show about the Thunderbolt cables becoming fiber optic at some point
right.
in the near future. Of course, if they are pure fiber optic, they're not going to be able to carry power over them. I don't know whether it's going to be a combination of fiber optic and copper. But
you could do fiber optic and then just plug in the power.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. But, you know, I think the way things are going, if you're using RED cameras and, you know, your filming is requiring so much data and you being able to transfer that rapidly to one of these rumored Mac Pros with 8 terabyte SSD, you're going to need a technology such as Thunderbolt. USB 2 is just not going to hack it, is it?
No.
USB 3 might. It'll be faster. It's still not. Thunderbolt destroys USB 3.
USB 3 is about 10 times faster than USB 2. But like you say, Thunderbolt destroys it.
Yep.
So what I like about this report from Macworld is that they say, the site suggests that the Mac Pro could maz out at 8 terabytes SSD.
Maz out.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but...
Should that be Max and it's a table, do you think?
Maybe, I'm just being picky, aren't I?
We could try to bring that in as a new bit of street slang, though.
We could. I don't know if it'll catch on. Perhaps Macworld are actually innovating before us there.
So you see, today when I was driving my car, I mazzed out the rev meter. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to the next subject, shall we? What are we talking about next, guys?
The last thing in terms of news was just to say that if you're in the US and you could get some money off at the moment on iTunes cards, which is always good. 20% off, which is quite a decent discount at Staples. So there you go. Just it might help you save up for your £4.5 million Mac Pro.
You're gonna have to. Can you buy hardware using iTunes gift cards?
No. I don't think so. You have to have an Apple gift card. It's universal for everything.
I'm not understanding you, Jacob. Can I buy hardware with one of those or not?
No, you can't.
So it's just for the software and the books and the films.
Yeah. It's just all the app stores and iTunes.
Because that would be rather good, you know, 20% off your $50 iTunes gift card, you know, maz out your bank account on iTunes gift cards and then go and get your new 8 terabyte SSD Mac Pro.
With a mazzed out drive.
That would be good.
Absolutely. I tell you something, guys, it's worth looking out for offers like this on iTunes gift cards. This one that Richard has spotted is for customers in the States, but we do get them often in the UK, and I notice they tend to pop up around public holidays, bank holidays, or Mother's Day, or things like that, around Christmas. And they come up at different places, some supermarkets or Clinton's Cards. Are they still in business? I don't know. HMV, are they still in business? No, I don't think so. If anybody's still in business, then sometimes they're selling them at about 20% off. And I did write an article about this a couple of months ago. I'll try and put that in the show notes as well. But it's effectively free money. If you buy content in the Apple ecosystem, whether it's apps for your Mac, apps for your iOS devices, books, films, anything like this, 20% off, it makes sense. You're saving money. It's free money, isn't it? I mean, 20% off a $50 iTunes gift card, now only $40. Look at that the other way around. Spend $40 on an iTunes gift card, get 25% extra free.
Yeah. Since I read that article of yours, Johnny, whenever I see one of those things now, I snap them up.
Yeah.
Because I just think I'm going to get through that anyway at some point. I may as well get it now, you know, get it and get the extra 20% or what have you.
That's it. It does make sense. It's a sensible way to buy apps, I think. I really should follow my advice sometimes, but it's heartening to know that somebody's read my article.
So, Jacob, tell me about Geek Tool.
Have you ever heard of it?
I've had a look at it since you posted the link. I've got to say it looks a bit hardcore for me, but I'm interested to know why you like it.
First of all, Jacob, just explain to us what Geek Tool does, and then tell us why you like it.
It pretty much puts an overlay on your desktop, so you have a bunch of widgets. Kind of, it's pretty. It let me see. It's like. You know, dashboard is another screen. Well, you can actually have dashboard on your desktop, except it's fully customizable and the widgets are a lot cooler and you can literally build your own really easy. You can import images, shell scripts, or even just files. And what I did is I'm using a bow tie theme. I posted this to Twitter a few days ago. I'm using a bow tie theme that's kind of like, I think it's called Neon 2.0. And it's just, it's fun because it shows me what's playing in iTunes with a little circular indicator for how far the track is with the name and everything and the artwork. And then at the top of the screen, although I didn't get it aligned very well in the screenshot, it shows the name of my computer, all the specs, the uptime, the external IP address, which is blanked out, and the RAM, the amount of RAM that's being used that's free and all that. And then at the bottom of the screen, I have a volume indicator that's circular and a funky little mouse thing, which was part of a theme that I got, but I didn't do anything with it. And then the date, Saturday, 2nd of March. And then I have like the weather, which is supplied by Yahoo Weather, the time, and a really fun kind of month calendar thing. It's a dateline, is what I call it, I think. And that's pretty much it. It lets you display a bunch of info on your desktop, and you can add anything over your wallpaper, and it just looks like it sits there.
So it's essentially a customizable live desktop, so giving you key points of information, whether it's date or time or system status or whatever.
Yeah, you can do weather, you could do calendar events, reminders, email. There's all kinds of stuff. You can code it to do whatever you want. And it was really fun. It took me like 2 hours, but that was because I wanted it perfect.
Okay. It looks really good. I've got to say, it looks really good. That artwork that you've got on there, where's that from?
The desktop wallpaper?
Mm.
It's actually, the theme I got is called, I think it's Dubstep is what it's called. And some guy built a bunch of widgets, or he just got a bunch of widgets and put them all there and set them up nicely and took a screenshot. And then he posted the links to all the widgets. And or they're called geeklets, actually.
Geeklets, yeah.
And he did that, and then he posted the PSD file for the desktop. So I just downloaded everything and kind of built my own version of it. And yeah, but I'll put a link to the theme I'm using in the show notes.
It's like it's like Lost, isn't it? That picture, I think, reminds me of that.
Yeah, it kind of is. I like the look at the big speakers, though.
Yeah, that's good.
And for those watching in black and white, the speaker is like a derelict stone building with stone cones in the reminiscent of a speaker. Yeah. We'll have to put a link in the show notes, I think, won't we? Jacob, you mentioned something called bow tie earlier. Is that important? What's that?
It's one word. It's not the usual spelling of bow tie. And it's pretty much, an add-on for iTunes. It reads what's playing. It looks at the artwork. It reads all the track info and stuff, and then it displays it on your desktop in a cool way. I used to be using one that read the images, just a random image of the artist from Last FM radio. And it would put that on there along with the artwork and the title of the song. You can do a lot of things with it. It's just kind of a cool indicator as to what's playing.
Where? Oh yeah, bow tie. Nice. Is that a little bit like the iTunes mini player, Johnny?
I don't know.
In Alfred. Do you think it's a bit like that, perhaps?
It probably is.
You know what? I don't use the iTunes Mini Player in Alfred that much. I tend to AirPlay my music to speakers wherever I am in the house.
Right.
I don't tend to use iTunes on the Mac via the keyboard. I tend to, you know, use my iPhone to say, "Hey, send music to the lounge," or "Send music to the loft," or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say one of the coolest themes that everyone should check out for that is Lux. It's the one with the picture of the person, and then like it could be a live picture or whatever. The name of the track and the name of the album, and then, or I mean, not the album, the track and the artist and the artwork beside it. It's just kind of a nice, clean look.
Mm. Okay, Jacob, you've posted a link that you want to talk about, a classic Mac that you've spotted. I think Richard and I discussed this in a previous show, but I think it's worth talking about again. Tell us about this.
Wait, when did you talk about the Lego Mac?
Do you not listen to these episodes, Jacob?
Well, not typically, no. You do, because you have to edit them. I don't edit them.
I listen to them afterwards.
I don't know. I only have time to record one and then I leave and go to work. But if you talked about it, I'm curious to hear what you said, but I'll listen to it at another time.
Okay, Jacob, for the benefit of our listeners who don't bother listening to the show, why don't we just catch up on Chris McVeigh's Lego Mac? Tell us about that, Jacob.
It's just a little project I found on Power Pigs Building Things. Someone on Twitter posted it yesterday. I don't remember who it was.
I've been posting it for
Jim Dalrymple or something. No, it wasn't you or Richard. It was someone else. But anyway, it is pretty much a Lego retro computer building kit that's custom designed by McVeigh.
Chris McVeigh.
Chris McVeigh. And it's a 202-piece set. And since I love Legos, I really want one badly, but it's $62.50, which is a bit much. But it looks so cool.
It does look amazingly cool. Now, this was doing the rounds on Twitter and the news sites a few weeks ago. And the image that was available showing this classic Mac with a keyboard and the mouse everybody was using. But what happened when the kit became available and Chris published some other photos, I think it was Chris, and the attention to detail on this thing is astonishing. It's just not the computer itself, the model itself. It's actually got the back of the cathode ray tube screen, you know, it comes out at the back, actually inside the box. Oh, yeah, inside the box. And not only that, it's got a little green and black printed circuit board that slides in and out, logic board. Oh, yeah. The attention to detail is incredible.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Cool.
I mean, Chris does give building instructions available on his website at chrismcveigh.com, so you can see all this.
He also has the original iPod and the iMac and the iPad on there. iMac.
Yeah, he's done some fantastic stuff. I've actually been following this guy on Flickr for years. So, you know, it's great to see some of his work getting so much attention. Really is a very talented guy. I should say at this point that I am actually a Lego Master Builder. Twice over. Yeah.
That's me.
No, I'm a Lego Master Builder. I got the badges to prove it when I was about 8 or 9. It's true. It's not a laughing matter, Jacob. I am a Lego Master Builder.
Well, I'm a little closer to being 8 or 9.
You're a lot closer to being 8 or 9 than I am, Jacob.
They already had 2 different colored bricks when you started, though, Johnny.
Not far off. Let's clear up one thing. The plural of Lego is?
Lego.
Lego. It is Lego.
Yeah. I know some of you guys over the pond like to say Legos.
No. Wrong.
So, okay, yeah. Check out chrismcveigh.com for the, for not just the classic Macintosh, but all his other stuff, the iPod and the iMac and some great stuff there. What are we talking about next, guys?
I think it's our hot picks, isn't it?
Is it already?
Yep.
What are we talking about there, then?
Could I mention one? Spotflux.
Yep.
Spotflux.com. If you wanted... Basically, my situation was I have a Netflix account. I'm sick to death of hearing how wonderful the American... Netflix is, and that we're allowed to use it, so I understand, because we have a paid Netflix account, which I do. So I wanted to try it out, and I'd heard of this before, thanks to Ewan Rankin, and I understood it was free, so I've downloaded it, give it a whirl, works very nicely.
Okay, so what does it do exactly, Richard?
It's a VPN, so a virtual private network, I think that stands for.
Yep.
And it basically spoofs your computer's IP address, so it doesn't realize that you're not in America.
I use a DNS one called Ola Unblocker for BBC.
Right.
Why not just use that?
This is just the first thing I've tried. Jacob, I've never tried anything like this before in the past.
Oh, okay.
I've got to say it works very well. You can have it set up so it instantly comes online and starts working, you know, as you boot up, and it'll open up a browser window for you as well at the same time, which is kind of handy because you
and which device does this works on your Mac? Does it, Richard?
It does. Yeah, it also works on Windows.
It's a lot like Cloak.
Yes, it is,
but it's not pricey.
It's so free.
It's free. Are there any limitations on it, Richard?
Nope. You could do anything you want, as much as you want.
If it sounds too good to be true.
In the US, you could get it for iOS as well, I believe, but we can't in the UK yet. And it also removes ads, tracking cookies, and other viruses and malware as well, apparently. So I've managed to stream HD Netflix using it without any significant problems. Watched a movie quite without any problems, really. So
how long have you been using it, Richard?
I've just used it on and off for a couple of hours in total, and it often kind of activates in the background, you know, when I'm just using the Mac day to day anyway. And I've not noticed any conflict or problems or anything like that so far. So it's just something, I think, if anyone wants to try out that sort of thing, it's a good way.
Interesting.
Of...
They seem to have a little bit of a different spin on this than things like Cloak or Tunnel Bear or the one that Jacob uses. And there are dozens out there. They seem to be pushing this from a security point of view, which is interesting given how we started the show, about how it encrypts and compresses traffic. Protects you from what they term digital harm, so malware and trackers and so on.
Yeah,
they're promoting it as a safety thing. The location and identity of your devices is concealed. Your internet connection is safer, more private, and unrestricted. Although I don't know how that would affect things like Find My iPhone.
Yeah. I suppose if you're using the
You're only using it for specific requirements, you know, so that you can watch video content that would be blocked because you're based in the UK.
Yeah, and it's very straightforward toggling it on and off as well. So, you know, you could, like you say, Johnny, you can just switch it off when you're not needing it for that reason. You don't have to have it on all the time.
I imagine with that sort of encryption and the proxy overhead that it would slow down your traffic. Maybe not noticeably, but it would slow down your traffic anyway. So you would want to toggle this on and off, just use it when you need to use it, I suppose.
Yeah, but very handy little service to drive for free. Definitely worth a look, I think.
Yeah, so this is our hot software of the week, is it?
Software, I think it is, because the other two things were hardware, weren't they? So.
Yeah, okay, so, I'm thinking this is pretty hot. A recommendation from Ewan Rankin on the British Tech Network.
Originally, that's where I heard of it, and I thought, right, I remember that one, I'll give it a go.
Yeah, okay, well, in a break from convention, I'm going to give this a hot.
Is that the first?
I don't know if it is, but
No. We both agreed that the Lego was hot.
Lego,
didn't we?
That was our hot hardware the other week, wasn't it? That would be one of the shows that Jacob didn't listen to.
Jacob, what did you think?
Hold on, I'm rolling my eyes. I actually like it. I think it's great. I used Cloak, but the thing was, I just had a free trial, and I don't really want to pay for it.
Yeah. I use Cloak as well on iOS, and I just kept having constant problems with it. It just wouldn't work for me. It was kind of weird. It was that it would like start loading the web page and then just stop and wouldn't go any further. And I had a bit of backwards and forwards with the developers, which was really good that they did that. But it was never resolved. And eventually, I just turned it off, stopped using it.
Well, you know, if it comes as a recommendation from somebody as respected as Ewan on British Tech Network, then I think you should sit up and listen, really. And just looking at their website, it seems very professional.
It is, yeah.
It looks like an interesting app. So, Jacob, did you vote?
Yes, hot.
Okay, so that's three hots. That's pretty good. We got a couple of other things in there. Do we want to talk about those quickly?
I don't think we need to talk about the second one.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
It's not hot. It's not hot.
It's crap.
Was it you, Richard? Of course you put it in there.
It was me.
What'd you put it in there for? Just so we could get a unanimous cold? Or
no, because it's a personal bugbear of mine. So to see something that actually sort of vaguely solves that problem, I was just delighted to see it.
Yeah, but it looks like a tacky little thing that you just... Okay,
The listener is going to be completely bemused if they've even got this far.
It's something called the Bud Snap, which is at the moment a Kickstarter project. And it's just a small little clip that attaches to your, you know what they're called now? Is it ear pods, isn't it? They're now called.
Yeah, it should be the Pod Snap. Why isn't it the Pod Snap?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I suppose it probably works with the old earbuds as well, I guess. It's just a little bit of plastic that clips. It may be rubbish, I don't know, but
it's a little hinge thing that plugs on your earpods, clips to your earpods or your earbuds or whatever we're calling earphones these days, and it's like a little hinge thing. You clip it to your earphones and then clip it around your earlobes. What a crap idea.
Ears all about.
Why didn't you just get those ones that hook behind your ears?
I cannot get anything.
Because those are horrible. Have you ever tried them on?
No.
Can I get anything like that to fit my ears properly? The ear pods is the closest I've ever come to something that will sit inside my ear and stay there. But even then, that still falls out. Why they insist on making it so smooth is beyond me. Wish they'd give it a bit of a textured... contour to it so it would grip a little bit better
like
inside
how
the ear.
It looks like a hair clip for a woman.
Yeah.
It does look a little bizarre.
Very nice.
I tell you something that doesn't really inspire me about this. The introductory video from the guy, the audio quality is just absolutely terrible. It sounds as though he's recorded the audio separately while sitting on the lav. It just doesn't inspire you. It looks like a quality product from the renders that you see, but the audio quality just doesn't sell it for me.
Having said that, isn't it just like, it's only $10 to get one, so it's not gonna destroy you if it is a pile of crap.
Okay, Bud Snap. Well,
Although we have to add another $5, so
that's a waste of money. Bud Snap, Bud Crap, as far as I can tell.
Well, you see, I give you one that was great, and I took it away with the other hand.
Okay, who's given us the last one? The U-Speed USB 3 4 port USB 3 cable 12 volt 2. What is this, Jacob?
Clearly, you know numbers.
I was just reading it from the Amazon page.
It's ugly.
It's a 4-port. Hey, hold on just a second. Give me a second.
I don't know which way Rich is going to vote.
I'm not backing off.
All right. Let's discuss this. It's a 4-port USB hub, a USB 3.0, actually. And it's backwards compatible with 2.0 in case you want worse than 3.0, which... don't ask me why. So it's 4 ports. They have an 8-port model. The 4-port model is $29.99. I don't want to look at the 8-port model's price because nobody
American
wants to buy
dollars.
It. Yeah. But I just got one, and it came yesterday. The box is really nice, basic. It has just it includes the basic things like, let's see, a manual, a 3-foot cable, the hub, and a power adapter. And the thing is fast. It's... with my USB 3.0 flash drives, I can plug all 4 of them in, and it transfers great, like really, really fast. So I'm really enjoying this, and I'm hoping to use it at live shows and stuff. It's just, I think it looks nice. It's kind of basic, except for the U-Speed logo isn't exactly.
You've not got your glasses on, have you, Jacob?
Oh, wait. Let's see. Ah!
Yeah, absolutely. The blue lights look nice.
They do. I like the little LEDs. And the blue ports look nice. And that USB logo doesn't... It just detracts.
Apparently, you know it's USB 3 because it has the little blue bit.
Yeah.
Blue plastic
and then they have
port.
To tell you, easy Wait, what? Four yeah, port.
It doesn't make sense.
Four port that. USB hub, easy your PC.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Where'd the preposition go? And the verb.
Easy your
PC. So
that has to be clearly. The short title, Johnny. Has to be.
Easy your PC.
In other words, calm that thing down. I love the little thing, but I don't know why they went with that selling point.
Yeah. I've got to say, it looks quite good, and it's a quite a decent price, isn't it, really?
Yeah, $29.99 is great.
Yeah.
Have you got cataracts, Richard?
No, it's bloody ugly, but it's a utilitarian thing, isn't
it's
it?
It's not one of those, that ugly.
Oh, it is. It's one of those things that I would be prepared to accept that, you know, I would have to hide it. I couldn't have it on my desktop.
Okay, well, Richard, how about this? Easy your PC.
So essentially a gadget for giving you more USB 3 hubs, yeah? Ports.
Yeah, well, if you have two on the MacBook Air, okay. Then you're going to want more.
Okay, so functionality-wise, at that price, pretty hot. Form-wise, not. It's not from the Johnny Ive School of Industrial Design by any stretch, is it?
No.
There's a really cool... someone posted one on Twitter a few days ago. It was like an aluminium one that was... it looked like the MacBook kind of... It looked like it went with your Mac.
Mm. Okay, so we've had three things in hot hardware software this week. Spot Flux, which was a unanimous hot. Bud Crap, which was a unanimous not. And U-Speed USB 3.0 hub, which is sort of a mixture of hot and not, as far as I can tell. So pretty indecisive this week. Do we want to mention anybody on Twitter this week, guys? Okay, I'll mention Neil Cochran one, at Neil Cochran one, just because he wants his name mentioned on the show. He's a Windows user. Perhaps that will change one day. Don't go adding things to the show notes when we've done the show, please, Jacob. Let's move over. Contact info. Richard, where can we find you on the information superhighway?
At Rich Harkness. I'm also looking after the at BTTM podcast Twitter account as well, and areyougettingit.co.uk, which is my blog.
Jacob, where can we find you on the internet?
I'm at EasyYourPC on Twitter.
No, you're not.
I'm going to be. I'm at Pinderworth on Twitter, and I'm thepapermail.com.
Okay. And I'm Johnny Winter. You can find more about me at about.me/JohnWinter. I'm on Twitter at Johnny_Winter. I'm also a freeloader on app.net at Winter. I think you two are on app.net, and neither of you buggers follow me.
I do follow you, don't I?
No, you don't.
Oh, I will rectify that immediately.
At Winter on app.net.
I will do then.
Jacob's not going to. He hasn't mentioned anything.
What?
Okay, and with that, I think that concludes episode 12 of Back to the Mac. Thanks very much for listening. That was episode 12 of Back to the Mac from the Q Broadcasting Network. You can find out more about Q Broadcasting at q.am. That's q.am. You can contact Jacob, Johnny and Richard on Twitter at Pendleworth, at Johnny_Winter, and at Rich Harkness. Intro and outro music is used with the kind permission of Tariq Greenfield. Find out more about Tariq at tdmss.com.
Macintosh.
I must be off. I need to pack things up for tonight.
There we go. Well, yeah, that's just clicked over to 1 hour. I think we've got a good show there, guys.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Oh, we need to go as well. We've missed Late Night Loaf.
Right. See you later then.
Bye-bye.
What? Bye. What?
Bye.